Hey everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey everybody, what are the true motivations behind the abolished police movement? What if I told you that they want a national police force? That they actually want police that work for them? We explore that through everything that's happening in the news cycle today. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. We have an Ask Me Anything coming up. I love hearing from you, and I love answering your questions. If I answer your question and you guys show you're subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show by sending in a screenshot of your subscription, you can win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. And please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. At charliekirk.com/support, you are able to help us get to new heights. Sandra from Missouri, thank you for your monthly support. Jennifer from Arizona, thank you. And Gracilia from Michigan, charliekirk.com/support. National Police Force, it's coming. What does that mean? Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
So have you ever browsed in incognito mode? It's probably not as incognito as you think. And why would it be? Incognito mode, like the Chrome browser itself, is a Google product. And Google has made its fortune by tracking your movements online. There's even a $5 billion class action lawsuit against the company in California, where it's accused of secretly collecting user data. Google's defense, incognito does not mean invisible. So how do you actually make yourself as invisible as possible online? ExpressVPN. Turns out that even in incognito mode, your online activity still gets tracked. And data brokers still get to buy and sell your data. One of these data points is in your IP address. Data harvesters use your IP to uniquely identify you and your location. But with ExpressVPN, your connection gets rerouted through an encrypted server and your IP address is masked. Every time you connect to ExpressVPN, you get a random IP address shared by other ExpressVPN customers that makes it harder for third parties to identify you or harvest your data. Best of all, ExpressVPN is super easy to use no matter what device you're on, phone, laptop, or smart TV. All you have to do is tap one button for instant protection. So if you really want to go incognito and protect your privacy, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. That's ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. A couple days ago, when the news story broke of the police shooting or the shooting in Columbus, Ohio, immediately I waited for the facts to come out because I knew that whatever the media was telling me in regards to a 16-year-old being shot and killed by the police unarmed was likely not true. And that commitment to patience paid off because the activist media and the BLM incorporated leaders like Bree Newsom and some of these other people, they weren't just wrong. They were intentionally lying about the situation. And I said a couple days ago, and I'll double down on it, that basically the argument that BLM was making is, how dare you break up our knife fights? How dare you get in the way of a very normal thing that happens in our communities? And I made light of it then, and it's kind of become right into the mainstream of conservative commentary, thankfully. I've actually been very happy. I have to say, one thing that I've been happy about the last 24 hours, I watch a lot of other snippets of shows, I read a lot of things, is how unified the conservative commentary space has been on this Columbus shooting. This would not have happened 5 years ago. It's a really good thing. The conservative commentary space and the conservative activist space is not giving an inch when it has come to this nonsense of what happened in Ohio. It's really, really good. Because what would have happened 5 years ago is we would have had some you know, Mitt Romney-style press release. Now, while the officer very well might have been justified, this is just another example of a situation gone wrong, of systemic structural racism, and only corporate tax cuts and mass immigration, drug legalization is the way to do this. Like some sort of weird, bizarre corporate Republican approach to this. Now, every single conservative commentator that I've seen has said, you know what? This was a knife fight. The police officer tried to break it up. He tried to intervene peacefully, and he saved a young black girl's life. Here's this guy in MSNBC, Jason Johnson. This is a guy who's teaching your children, by the way. He's a professor at Morgan State University. He has now earned a position on our professor watch list. Play cut 97.
Zakiya Bryant, a 16-year-old girl in Columbus, Ohio, called the police for help. An officer was on the scene, and in 22 seconds, he shot her dead. An honor roll student who's making TikTok videos on makeup and hair. This hasn't stopped. And still, 40 minutes after that ruling, a 16-year-old girl can be shot in front of her house. So no, I'm not hopeful. Because unless there is wholesale change, abolishment of this institution that continues to fail tax-paying black people in this country, everything else is just fanciful thinking.
So if you actually listen to the 911 call, first of all, we don't know who called the police yet. He's just either assuming it, or he's been misinformed, or he's intentionally lying. Three different things that could be happening there. But if you listen to 911 call, which we're going to play in cut 95, it was someone in that community who says, there's someone trying to stab us. Cut 95.
Hey. These grown girls over here trying to fight us, trying to stab us, trying to put our hands on our grandma. Get here now. We need a police officer here now.
We need a police officer here now. You know, it's really interesting. When the adrenaline starts pumping and you fear for your life, all of a sudden you call the police. And I feel for whomever that is, that girl is on the phone. It could be a Makia. I don't know who it is. We don't know who it is. Sounds like a younger person. They want the police in their neighborhood. They invited the police in their neighborhood. They said, come help me, police. So Jason Johnson, professor at Morgan State University, they wanted the police. Cut 96, the video of where you hear the girl that says, I'm going to stab the bleep da bleep da bleep a bleep a bleep a bleep out of you. Cut 96. Yeah, why would anyone want to break up a knife fight? Just let it happen, right? I mean, come on, what are you, a racist? Knife fights are a critical part of human development. Joy Reid, who's really special, she's more concerned about the white officer and doesn't actually care about the lives of the other girl. Cut 99.
I don't know the details of what happened beforehand, but I'm bothered that no one is asking, what could have scared a 16-year-old girl enough that she felt she had to grab a kitchen knife facing two adult women, right? No one's asking what would have scared a kid who's in a foster situation so much that she felt that she needed to defend herself or pick up a knife. Like, no one's asking that about her. They're just saying people with this sort of concern trolling, pretending they care so much about those other two women. And Brittany pointed that on social media last night. Do we really think these people are so concerned about those other two black women?
Well, Joy Reid, are you trying to say that there might be structural family problems in the black community? I'm happy to have that robust discussion with you. Are you actually trying to say that there might be dysfunction and that the police officer was invited into this situation? But what if I told you that on the same day in the same state, a 13-year-old was killed by another 13-year-old with a knife? That's right. Knife attacks are increasing dramatically in our country right now. Maybe it's because LeBron James glamorizes it. LeBron James acts as if knife fights are part of the historic fabric of the black community. Jazz music and knife fights is what LeBron James would say. That's what really makes the black community special. It's ridiculous. Cut 100, news report of a 13-year-old slashing the neck of another. Cut 100.
No record. She's an A student. We're not sharing her name because she's a juvenile. The suspect is accused of slashing the throat of another 13-year-old girl Monday night. Nyara Givens died.
Slashing a throat of another 13-year-old girl. So I guess now our eyes are being opened that this is a regular occurrence. And are they being, are they desensitized to this so much that what really bothers them is a police officer responding to help? So this is heading in a very predictable direction. And actually, I think everyone is missing where this is headed. Because the abolishment of police is not where this is going. It isn't. That is an Overton window moving communication strategy. There were 1,500 knife homicides in 2019. In fact, there are hundreds of young black children under the age of 18 that have been killed with knives in the last couple years. So I guess this is a very big deal. But can't intervene. But what is the actual goal of this abolish police and police criticism push? It's actually the opposite of what you might think. It's actually the opposite of some of the things that some of the guests on our program have said. And it's right in front of us. And we need to take a step back and ask, what has been the through line of every single proposal from the left over the last couple decades? And the answer to that is where this is headed. Because it's not about abolishing the police. It's about what Jason Johnson said, abolishing the current police status quo. There's a group of people that the BLM activists hate more than anything else, and it's local police. And I'm going to tell you how this is going to impact your community and the next proposal they are going to make. It's right in front of us, and everyone is missing it. So where is this going? Why are the Democrats so fixated on abolishing the police? The initial point that is made is only half right. Many people on television say Democrats just want chaos. That is partially true. But why do Democrats want chaos? Who benefits from chaos? If there's the lack of order, what do then people demand? Order. Well, you say, well, then, Charlie, why would they want chaos? Because where this is headed is the Democrats want a national police force. The Democrats hate the fact that there are local sheriffs and local DAs and local police commissioners that they can't control. They want a nationalized police force that they can enforce whatever laws they want, however they want, that they can use it as an intimidation tactic. I'm dealing with this right now in a certain state across the country that I will not name, where I'm going to visit very soon, and 700 terrorists are going to try and show up, and the local police feels outnumbered. They do not believe they have the resources to do it. And the National Guard won't be sent in. So I don't know if we're going to show up and speak there or not. That's actually a thing we're dealing with right now, where 700 domestic terrorists are threatening to go burn down the community because I'm going to go speak. It's happening in real time. The Democrats want their own police force. So what's the power of having your own police force? Let me tell you the power of having your own police force. When you have your own police force, you can send someone into the White House to go talk to Michael Flynn and entrap him and completely ruin the national security apparatus, the legitimacy and the trust of an administration in 2 weeks or less. And I'm, of course, talking about Peter Strzok, who walked into the White House where his 302s, who have been declassified, shows that he was illegally trying to entrap Michael Flynn. That's the power of a police force. You know what the other power of a police force is? Spying on your enemies. Using the FISA courts to be able to know what Donald Trump is saying. Ruin Carter Page's life. You know, another example of having a police force? Lois Lerner, going after conservative nonprofits 10 years ago from the Internal Revenue Service. But that's not enough for them. They want a police force in your neighborhood that they control. They don't like the fact that police officers are generally more interested in the well-being of the community than some sort of abstract ideology. They don't like the fact that police forces are able to implement their own standards of conduct. That's why the Department of Justice is marching in to the city of Minneapolis to go investigate George Floyd's killing. Wasn't that the whole point of the trial? No. You see, this is, you guys got to look at this three-dimensional. Why is Merrick Garland marching the Department of Justice into Minneapolis? He wants to nationalize the Minneapolis police force. That's why. To enforce certain laws that they want to see enforced that go after conservatives and not enforce other ones. They want to create a modern equivalent of the SS. It's that simple. A national police force that can be the muscle of the Democrat Party, that will turn a blind eye on the arson and the looting and the rioting, prostitution and drugs. But if you dare open your church in the midst of a lockdown, we will lock you away forever.
Did you know that 80% of the grass-fed beef sold in the United States is imported from overseas? It's staggering. That's why I get my meat from GoodRanchers.com, because their product is 100% American. When you buy your steak and chicken from Good Ranchers, not only are you getting amazing meat, but you're also supporting American farms. My friends at Good Ranchers have traveled the United States and met with actual farmers that raise the livestock to ensure the product they are sending to your table is the very best. All the product is individually wrapped and it eliminates waste. GoodRanchers.com safely delivers American craft beef, better than organic chicken, right to your door. Buy one time, or better yet, subscribe. Check out the Family Fest Bundle. If you subscribe, you will save 20% with each purchase. Subscribing brings the cost per meal down to just $2.38 per meal. That includes steak, chicken, and more. Stop trying to play the grocery store guessing game. Know where your meat comes from with GoodRanchers.com. Support American farmers. Go to GoodRanchers.com to get $20 off and free express shipping. 100% American beef and chicken. Chicken is always 100% all natural. No antibiotics ever. No hormones added ever. Better than organic, individually wrapped, vacuum sealed, and ready to go. And don't forget, you always get free express shipping. Safe and convenient way to shop. Go to GoodRanchers.com/Charlie. GoodRanchersNS.com/Charlie.
Anything that is local is a threat to the left. The entire premise of the United States Constitution is based on local, bottom up. The states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. It's a coalition of states. It's actually in the name of our nation, the United States of America. We're not the centralized command of America. It's actually a really important point, because most of Europe does not understand the states-based model. Therefore, going on an even more granular basis than that, on a county and city level, policing has been largely left to the citizens in neighborhoods and cities. Now, this ended up being a problem. If you actually go through a history of policing in America, which I'm happy to do on a different podcast, I encourage you guys to subscribe to our podcast. But if you actually go through a history in policing in America, this idea of a federal police force is a very new phenomenon. And it was largely only because of one thing. Do you know what that was? Bank robberies. That's right. Bank robberies is why a national police force was created. Now, a creep, a weirdo, a psychopath by the name of J. Edgar Hoover, he discovered a good way to be able to detect fingerprints. That was basically his contribution to American policing. Because there were a lot of unsolved bank robberies happening in the 1920s and 1930s and mass murders of prohibition. So what would happen is that you would have a bank robber that would rob a bank in Maryland and then go to New York. Now, the bank robbers weren't dumb. They were like, oh, if I go across state lines, then these states are not going to really be sure how to come after me. So J. Edgar Hoover pushed hard, and I believe it was originally chartered the beginnings of the FBI under FDR and then Eisenhower, but it really got steam under Nixon. I know that JFK and Nixon is really where the FBI started to get steam. But there was this push to be able to enforce interstate crimes, crimes that happen in between states, because who has that jurisdiction? So many of you guys are familiar with that show of the guy that always talks in the most dramatic tones. And the FBI was officially formed in 1908, but it was changed in 1935. So Roosevelt, yeah, that's right. And so this idea of a national police force has always been kept in check by the legislative branch and the courts saying, hey, this is really not your jurisdiction. This happens a lot. And so, for example, when there's an abduction across state, the abduction only becomes the FBI's problem when it crosses state lines. But a bank robbery, regardless, immediately becomes the FBI's jurisdiction. Immediately. Now, before the FBI, do you know who dealt with the most federal crimes? Was the United States Secret Service. The U.S. Secret Service has always been involved in currency crimes. They still are, actually. Anything involving counterfeit currency, that's actually the reason why the Secret Service was originally formed. So the FBI had a lot of power. It was abused, I think that's fair to say. The FBI spied on Martin Luther King Jr. The FBI became almost a pet project of the creep J. Edgar Hoover, who was a cross-dresser and a really weird guy. He just what? No, it's documented. He actually spied on JFK and spied on Bobby Kennedy too, who was the attorney general for his brother, who was the president of the United States, JFK. And so this idea of a national enforcement arm has not been a net negative necessarily for America when it comes to certain crimes. Drug trafficking, child sex trafficking, public corruption cases. That's a really important function of a federal law enforcement because the states are not set up in any way, nor should they be, about those kind of interstate crimes. But still, the vast majority of criminal enforcement happens on the local level and then maybe the state level. But that's changing rather rapidly, isn't it? It's changing because the Democrats and the BLM activists, let me say this as clearly as possible, they have never wanted to abolish the police. They just want a police force that they can control. Now, some of the activists actually want a police force to be abolished. They really do. They believe in a Rousseauian view of human nature, where human nature is malleable, and if we get rid of police, we can live in this kind of kumbaya utopia. Just look at Chaz. They actually believe that. But the people in charge are actually a lot smarter than that. They know that there's always going to be a desire for order. And this is why the arc of Marxist movements always end in totalitarianism. Always. They use the workers and their complaints to give them power. It's brilliant, actually. And this has manifested itself so many different ways. So let's go to Cut 101. This is part of this narrative. Cut 101 is... whatever this woman is. She's on our Professor Watchlist, professorwatchlist.org at Turning Point USA. What's her name? Whatever her name is. Play tape.
You know, look, the argument for our movements has never been that Black people have to be perfect in order for them to deserve dignity, for us to have good policing, for us to be viewed with humanity, for cops to take a breath before they literally get out of the car, guns blazing. So that's the first, right? That this is never what the argument for the movement for Black lives has been, is that you just get to kill Black people, particularly when they're not being perfect. No Black person is really, truly going to be safe if we cannot be having a bad day, if we cannot defend ourselves and we think we are going to get jumped, if we call the cops and they can't show up and tell who the victim is and who the perpetrators are, and they can't use their training to adjudicate regular old everyday community conflict.
You hear that? If you're attempting murder, you're having a bad day. I think Charlie Manson's defense team is looking at themselves. They say, you know what? How did we miss that? I think that Eric Rudolph, who executed the Centennial Park bombing, he's looking at this and saying, huh, if only I had a lawyer that would have just said I had a bad day. Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, I mean, come on, bad day. Timothy McVeigh, bad day. Now I can just hear Media Matters. Charlie Kirk compares Makiya Wright to Timothy McVeigh. Well, probably a lot more mass murder, obviously, on Timothy McVeigh. But she was trying to murder somebody. Attempted murder. Not something I'm going to trivialize as if she had... She was trying to murder someone because her boyfriend broke up with her. This is the kind of moral justification that's happening. But what's really happening here, and if you study their language closely, they really don't want to get rid of the police. And I'll prove it to you. Why are they okay with the National Guard still guarding Congress? Because they control them. Why are they okay with a stormtrooper armed force doing their bidding? It's because they control them. So it's never been about the idea of police, ever. It's been about how they are not able to give them marching orders. That's what this is really about. Why is Maxine Waters okay with personal police protection while she's marching in the streets? It's because what's always bothered them about local policing, about county district attorneys, is that they actually put the law above ideology. That they actually put justice, legitimate justice, over power. That bothers them. The squad, Ayanna Pressley and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, they spend thousands and thousands of dollars on personal security. And I think the way that most conservatives that kind of do commentary, they'd be like, oh, what a hypocrite. No, that's not actually the point. You're missing the point. The point is that they're arguing for an abolishment of police so that they can eventually get to a nationalized police. They all believe in police. They know they need stormtroopers to go fight their domestic battles. They know that. And of course, there are the idealistic utopians that actually think that we're going to get rid of private property and that we're going to create CHAZ and that we're all going to kind of live in this John Lennon song of like some sort of Eastern religion, Buddhist, like hill country environment. Like I could just see like this, you know, there will be peace. We're all happy. No more, you know, no more murder. And all we have is love. There's a idealist point to some of the activists. But Joy Reid's not one of those people. Of course not. She's lived a very nice life. None of those apparatchiks on MSNBC that are just screaming all the time, very angry people. No. They've gotten to a point where privately and not so carefully publicly, they're all saying, look, policing as it is doesn't work. So now we need policing to work for us. We need a police force that will deploy when we need them. A police force that can enforce our laws, not the law. So someone asked me, they said, Charlie, what do you think are the growth businesses that are coming very soon? I said, bullets and private security. Ammunition is going to be the new currency. It's going to be harder than ever to find bullets. There's a huge ammo manufacturing shortage. Bullets are objectively valuable. And then private security. So what's going to happen is that police officers are going to say, I'm not going to police these areas. And so then the solution for the Democrats will be, okay, we're going to take power in Washington and we are going to introduce a new type of police force that will have been trained in equity and diversity and inclusion and critical theory. And they're going to start policing white neighborhoods and policing things that you might not ever have thought that was necessary for policing. And they'll turn a blind eye on crime that they think is permissible, like murder. Perfectly fine. Because in Chicago, it's just been announced that Mayor Lori Lightfoot has said that Chicago police will need permission to chase suspects on foot. And you wonder why people are leaving these cities in record numbers.
Is it time to stop renting and buy your first home? Owning your home is an investment in your future, and with today's low rates, now is the time to do it. Often with mortgage payment, it's the same as rent, so why pay for someone else's mortgage payment? Going through the mortgage process for the first time means you're going to have lots of questions. You need someone you can trust. I recommend Andrew and Todd at andrewandtodd.com. They are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. These guys are honest, trustworthy professionals who can answer all of your questions and walk you through the entire process. They help first-time homebuyers and put the actual plan together. And because Andrew and Todd are bankers, not brokers, Andrew and Todd and their team personally work with you from the start to finish. You always have someone in your corner. I've heard amazing things about Andrew and Todd, so take the first step towards home ownership. You know you want to. Just go online and answer a few questions at andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. If you guys are a mortgage, maybe you're looking to buy a home, do it while rates are low. Go to andrewandtodd.com, andrewandtodd.com.
It is the human norm, it is the pattern of our condition and our nature to want to dominate other human beings. More energy, more time, more resources has been dedicated to dominating and owning and conquering and managing and controlling other human beings than any other activity in the history of our species, which is, of course, what made the American government different. Made the American promise, the American project, the American nation different. That it was a promise to its citizens that we are going to chart a new path. That we, the people in charge, the people with the money, the guns, the land, the trust, the language, the literacy, we are not going to use our power to dominate you. It's a big deal. Most countries, most leaders would have run towards that opportunity, and they would have created the Jeffersonian and Washingtonian and Hamiltonian monarchy, and we would be living in some form of a despotic state with beautiful scenery. Instead, the founding fathers decided to do different. They rejected the totalitarian temptation. Make no mistake, every human being that gets money, wealth, power, resources, a following, attention, clout, deals with this temptation. Every single person. And the temptation is, why don't you control more people? Why don't you exercise your brilliance, your wisdom? You could do it to help people. Don't you understand? So the reason why George Washington changed the course of human history is he was the first conqueror, winner, victor to say, I'm stepping down. He changed the trajectory of civil governance by putting limits on his own power. Why did he do that? Because he had virtue. That's why. George Washington was a great man. George Washington was a prayerful man. He was a man steeped in the classics who understood rights came from God, not from government. So now, do you think that AOC and Ayanna Pressley and Ilhan Omar and all these people, when that moment comes to them and there is that totalitarian temptation in front of them, do you think they'll have a George Washington moment or a Joseph Stalin moment? I think we all know the answer to that. Do you think when the moment in front of them, when they said they wanted to abolish police, and all of a sudden they have a police force that works for them, do you think they will have the wise restraints to enforce the law as it should be? Or do you think they will use the stormtroopers for equity, to try to right the wrongs of the sins of yesterday? You see, the more I study history and really study it, I realize how special America is, how rare America is. It's a short glimmer of what I call the bloodbath of our planet, Most civilizations end before they even get started. It's just a bunch of self-interested monarchs, wannabe despots, that send serfs and peasants to go fight their wars. You live till you're like 27. It's kind of an awful existence. But America is this different project. It's a different promise. And it's because we have a framework, a constitutional system from the bottom up that our leaders made a decision to reject the totalitarian temptation to not go build a stormtrooper army, to not want to go spy on every citizen. In fact, they were so understanding of that temptation, they made an amendment that said it's illegal for us to spy on you. It's illegal for us to put stormtroopers in your home, the Third Amendment. It's illegal for us to take your weapons. It's illegal for us to tell you that you can't speak. They're rules for the government, not for you. But do you think for a second that these Democrats actually want no police? No. This whole thing is trying to build a national narrative that when they introduce a bill to Congress to nationalize the police force, they'll be able to look like moderates for all the suburban soccer moms and say, well, at least we get police. But they have to go through critical race theory training. They have to go through diversity, inclusion, and equity training. But they are going to work for the Democrat Party and not for you. The end of local police is coming unless we do something about it. And that is the true goal of the chaos Democrats. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.